purpose of the backup? Is it to get Bashir to...
Which backup?
The dictating machine.
Dictating machine, yeah, I upload onto the Toyoway website.
To do that by downloading on the website for biological audio and using that. I'll tell you why.
Okay, hold on.
But what you're going to say is that we won't have an extra backup if things go wrong.
No, why are you saying what I was going to say?
This is too logical.
Can I say what I was going to say?
Go on.
What I was going to say was that apparently it is possible already to take an audio recording off the website, yeah, and to put it onto ours. I don't know how to do it, and I've got three or four shurim that I don't have on the recorder that I would like to upload. But Duddy said at the time that the quality of the recording doesn't compare. So the quality of the recording of recording on this dictaphone and uploading direct to our what's called is nowhere near the quality of bringing it over from Kaila Losha.
Can I listen to one of them?
You can listen to any of them.
No,
just go onto the website.
I'll download one.
Yeah.
And compare.
You do that,
the two,
please.
And see, and also I'll send it to you as two together.
I would,
for you to listen as well.
I would be delighted because this is a pain.
Two sets of ears.
I have
because
to.
Because I tell you what, Yankee, what's changed is that we already have a third backup.
Okay.
For emergency.
I would be delighted if it could be done direct because this is a pain. I have to move it from. I have to upload to my computer.
So let's do that.
And then go to a file called Toroway Shiorim and then go to FX.
Okay.
And from FX move it across from one to the other.
Try.
Okay. Fine. Rabbi Sai. Just.
I'll come back.
And also, Yankee, if it's something specific, we might be able to.
Manage without me?
Going to take a liberty, Rabbi Sai, this morning and tell you over Dvar Torah that I said over at my Shabbos table, because I combined a chelik of the shir on Friday morning that we heard from Rabbi Rosenblatt with something that we learnt here in Toraway to do with the Asorah Haruge Malchus. Rabbi Rosenblatt mentioned, you weren't here Chaskel on Friday, so you didn't hear the other one anyway. Yeah, so Rabbi Rosenblatt mentioned on Friday that it says, "Vayumosru me'alfei Yisrael shnei mosa elef latova." The HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe Rabbeinu that he should take the Nekoma Meis HaMidyonim, and he should take 1,000 soldiers from every tribe and form an army of 12,000 soldiers. Yeah. So it says, "Vayumosru." Yeah. And Rashi brings down there. Why doesn't it say "Vayovoyu" or "Vayelchu"? Or even Vayikhu that he took. What's Vayimosru? That they were conscripted. They were forced to go. Says Rashi, because the Rabbi Nisham said, go and do the Mechemes Midyon, Achate Yosef Elamecho, and then you will die. And they didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to die. So therefore they thought, right, we'll not go to the battle, we'll refuse to go to battle, and that way Moshe Rabbeinu lives on.
Yeah.
And therefore we get away with it. So Vayimosru, but the Rabbi Shalom said that you have to take Nekoma thing off. So therefore the soldiers had to be forced against their will to go to the army in order to fight the Battle of Midian. So the question is, what did they achieve with that then? In the end they had to go anyway. They were chosen and they were forced to go. So what did they achieve? Yeah, it's a very nice demonstration of their love for Moshe Rabbeinu. The fact they're saying we don't want Moshe Rabbeinu to die. It's a nice concept, but did they really achieve anything?
They were trying to, but
in the end they didn't, and the truth is the Rabbi Shalom wasn't going to be mevater on taking revenge on the Midianim for what they caused, a plague of 24,000, thousands of
Yidden. They must have understood that their process.
Well, let's hear the pshat. So the pshat I wanted to suggest was based on what we learnt to do with the Asorah Haruge Malchus. We said that when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was executed, he was beheaded. Then Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi, the Kohen Gadol, who was next in line to be executed, he took Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's head in his hands and he placed his eyes on his eyes, it says, and his mouth on his mouth, and he started a long drosha, Peh HaMizkaveh Batoira, Eichato Yilachich Esofar. Yeah, he said such a terrible thing, and such a wonderful person, and he's gone, and he's died, and it's such a loss to us and for Klal Yisrael. And he really, the Mefoshim all asked the question. The Mefoshim asked the question. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi was a Kohen Gadol. How was he allowed to be metameh himself to the mace by taking the skull, the head of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, holding it and kissing it and crying over it, etc. Yeah, well, how was he allowed? So we had three answers. One answer we learned from later on in Eila Eskro, that says there that Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Yeshua Garsi and Eliyahu HaNovi came to collect the body of Rabbi Akiva in order to bury him. And Rabbi Yeshua Garsi was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, or colleague of Rabbi Akiva. He asked Eliyahu HaNovi, you're a Kohen, Pinchas Eliyahu, you're a Kohen, how are you allowed to be metami yourself to the Maester of Akiva? And Eliyahu HaNovi answered him and said that Tzadikim ain metamin. The grace of Tzadikim do not have Tumas Meis. If you follow that through, then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel also doesn't have Tumas Meis. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel Ben Rabbi Yossi can take it. That was one answer. The second answer was an assumption, two assumptions if you like, that he was probably held in a prison before. Yeah, he was in a building where people were executed, where people were killed, where people died. Yeah, probably there were a lot of Yidden. The prisoners were mostly Yidden in the prison. And therefore, the chances are he was Tomei Meis anyway through Tumas Oihel. Therefore, that was the second answer. He's probably Tomei Meis. Yeah, the third answer was that he must have been Tomei Meis through Oihel of Rav Shimon Gamliel himself. Rav Shimon Gamliel was a mess, he just died. And he was right next to him. So therefore, but that... not Mukhrach, because it might have been out in the open. They might have been in a yard somewhere, in the palace, you know, of the Roman governor. So not Mukhrach. So we've got two and a half answers so far. But the third answer was brought by Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that what Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi did in taking the head of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and making this, he said it was all a big theatrical performance. He made it as theatrical as possible. He took the head and he cried and he kissed it and he licked it, you know, and he said this in one of the versions of the Asara Ruga Malkus as a ganz langa drosha of all the things that he said, right? Until they finally stopped him, yeah, and they executed him. And he was also beheaded. Yeah. So he says, why? Because the halacha is that for chaye sho'o, even for another minute of life, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Yeah, Mechal Shabbos, Atola can be Mechal Shabbos, somebody who's on his way out, but he can be, you could do something for him in order to extend his life even by an extra few minutes. Then Halacha is Afilah Fachai Shoh, you can be Mechal Shabbos. You can be Mechal Esurin Shabbat Torah. He says this entire thing was a ruse by Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi, Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel, either ben Elisha, ben Yossi, ben Rabbi Shmuel, the Kohen Gadol, in order to get himself an extra few minutes off their welt, right? They stopped and they watched him and they didn't know what he was doing, and it took a few more minutes until they beheaded him, yeah? And during that time he was being maspid and giving covered for the mess, and therefore he was doing a mitzvah with the time, so therefore it was kedai for him to do that. It was all a spiel in order to achieve a few extra minutes, yeah? In that case, you could say maybe the same about the soldiers. When the soldiers refused to go to the army, and eventually there were arguments and discussions, and eventually they had to be forced, they bought Moshe Rabbeinu a little bit of extra time. Even besides the fact that they showed their loyalty to Moshe Rabbeinu, but they also bought some extra time. Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die now, even if it took an hour longer, or it took a day longer until they assembled an army and went to fight Midian, and Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die immediately after that, and did die immediately after that, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have died on Zayin Ador. Maybe he would have died before that on the Hey Ador or Vov Ador. And like this, they pushed it off by this demonstration of love and the refusal to go to the army. A possibility, maybe. The same thing as Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi did, to buy himself a bit of extra time. Maybe Klal Yisrael achieved something through the refusal to go to the army, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't die as quickly as he would otherwise have died. That was just something that I thought of, combining what we learned on Friday with what we learned on earlier in the week, anyway. Our speaker's not here. So let's go on a little bit to the next one. We're up to number 6 of the Asura Harugei Malchus. As I said, the first three are agreed by everybody. They were together, and they were... this was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi, or Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, whoever he was, and Rabbi Akiva. They were all killed at the same time, probably in the same palace by the same Roman governor. After that, it starts to split in various versions of Chazal as to the Midrashim and the Gemaras, etc., etc., as to who were the First of all, who were the Asar HaRogim Malchus? There are different versions as to who was there and who wasn't there, and whether or not it was possible that they could have all been executed, they could have lived at the same time and been executed in the same period. And there are contradictions, we've discussed some of them so far. But the next one that's brought down in Eile Eskra, which is the one that we've been following as our main text, which is the text that we say in the Musaf, Chazor Shatz Musaf of Yom Kippur, is Rabbi Yehuda ben Doma. Interesting is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Doma, and he's brought down in Eile Eskra, but he's not mentioned in, I think he is mentioned also in the Azar Levona Nadir HaTorah, but the Mefoshim, I've got a kinnis, which is a kinnis hamafoyrosh or something like that. It's kinnis with, and they have in their introduction to the various piyutim that one says during kinnis, they have a discussion about the Asar HaRogim Malchus there as well. And they say that Rabbi Yehuda ben Doma appears in a number of the texts as one of the Asar HaRogim Malchus, and they say there is nobody by the name of Yehuda ben Doma anywhere in Shas. He doesn't appear anywhere in Mishnayos. He's not mentioned, and he's not mentioned in the Brisa, in the Gemara, etc., etc. And they think that Rabbi Yehuda ben Doma never ever existed. Yeah, in which case, how did he end up being part of one of the Asar HaRogim Malchus? And the answer that they give is that it could be that there is a mistake, and there's either a Rebbe Lozo ben Doma, or there's a Rebbe Yehuda ben Tamo. Yehuda ben Tamo's in Perikei of the Havias, Kanome, Kal Kadesh, etc. Yeah, Yehuda ben Tamo is a Tana that appears, and Elozo ben Domo is a Tana that appears, but Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda ben Domo doesn't exist, L'choira, yeah, unless it's somebody that we just don't happen to know about. But in any event, it could be one of the others as an alternative, because we anyway have various versions as to who were the Asar HaRogim Malchus.
Started the Torah in Northwest London, Sunday, Kaf Zayin Tammuz, 12th of July, Rabbi Simchi Yakubovich, leader of the clubhouse, Kamtza and Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, part 1. This week's Torah has been sponsored, Livin Nishmas, Rabbi Rom Abo Ben Menachem Aries, from the Baruch of Ziyataris on Rosh Chodesh Ab, Yuzvush Vushlema Shel Rabzei Ben Toiba Dreindel Neriyoya, Livin Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov Ben, Rabbi Shimon Holtzvi, Itzkovitz, Zifranoli Brochot.
Just stuck with a cup of water before I came and parchment as well. Forgive me, I'll take a few zips. So, B'shus L'chosu B'aylam, remember what we say? Spoken to Harav Josh Frankel, he asked that we give out the full speech, so I think you'll be quite happy to know that word for word has been written out. There's 7,883 words for you to read through. I just thought that this time would make it a lot easier. I know you're just writing now, it's all there for you word for word, so you won't have anything to worry about. It will be available via email. I'm happy to give you a hard copy as well. So, when preparing today's speech, there were a few things that went through my mind, especially the season of the World Cup. A Talmud came up to me, and you know the chevra I deal with, and he goes to me, Rabbi, it's amazing, football's coming home. And I said to him, I just want Mashiach to take me home. But the obsession with the football coming home is unbelievable. I wanted to quote him the Gemara about what playing with ball on Shabbos can do, but I realized maybe this wouldn't be the right time. Maybe I should just investigate. So I said to him, what's the excitement? Do you only watch the English game? He says, no, I watch every game. So I said, well, what's the chab? You understand the godless here? Really got swept away into every single detail to do with the cup. He got worked up by it. And I asked him a few questions. You know, we were still in Godless. He says, well, I know we're in Godless. He says, why am I supposed to be depressed? And the problem I keep coming up against, especially young people, they've mixed up the idea that depression, which is against the Torah, is against Hasidus, against the Musas, against everything. Originally you say what Simcha can do and Mitzvah can do, what sadness can bring about depression, no Avira can bring you to it, and it's one of the worst things that the Yetzirah does to you. We say, well, Asi Sotham of Fanenu or Me'acharim. So understanding it in introspection and looking into ourselves, that's how we prepare ourselves in this month of Av. Av also means the father. We're about to meet our father, our king, when it comes to Elul. I need a daydi with daydi li. I have to prepare myself in this time. It's a golden opportunity to do so. And faket, the Mashiach is going to come. Now is taken the time to chaparan, to prepare yourself. Sadly, the goddesses are such a state. You know, they're young people. They don't really chap. You're talking about Cossacks and Crusades, even the Holocaust. How many members are there left really today? So it's becoming quite difficult for you to try and give a comparison. Some told me 7th of October, maybe for the younger generation. But the point isn't to remind them, remember, you're surrounded by hate. Because at the end of the day, they're supposed to see that Kodesh Baruch Hu is running a world with love and care. And to put fear into young people isn't the answer either. Rather, the answer is to recognize what have we lost and to look into every source of Chazar telling us of what we have to gain. So this week, what I'm going to do is focus on all the sources compiled together for the Chorban. Some I've mentioned before, but I've never gone in as much depth as I will within the time frame. And next week will be the coming Mashiach, all the Chazar say about that time, and what one really needs to prepare for when Mashiach comes. Now, saying that doesn't mean I'm in any position to give Musa and say, well, that's what you got to do, because it's a life journey. It's a lot of avoider. But let's take it step by step. So, it is possible, as you will see, to eat an amazing Heksher and to live to all the mitzvahs you want. But based on the words of Chazal, it's not enough. You can do a Chesed, and it's not a Chesed which is, forgive me, I know we say by the dead, but Chesed shall emes when it comes to treating other people. The trick usually to do Chesed, as we shall see, is to treat the person like I have to take my daughter this week to the doctors for an injection. I took my son, little Avi, Avram Yaakov, a few weeks ago. He's 3, I took him for an injection. Okay, my second youngest. So we're sitting there, and he's got his arm out, and he sees the lady of the injection. He says, oh no. He does this, oh no, 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 no. And so she says, look at your daddy. He looks at me, oh no, oh no, no. And you know, it's like, distract yourself, but you know what's coming. And so the secret behind doing things is you have to be able to do a chesed when you're helping the child. In death, they don't know what's coming. People are smarter than that. From Kamsa about Kamsa to Yavna, Yushlaim lost its voice, and how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai preserved its future. That's the title of the shir from Kamsa to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And we will see that all these things influence Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We speak about the Chorban of the second Beis HaMikdash. We normally begin with one famous answer. Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sin and schilim. The Gemara Beis HaMikdash Yuma talks about the test on the base. It says, "Mikdash sheni shayu oiskin b'tayyeh b'mitzvahs u'minas chasadim et b'nimachov." Okay, nay, because oiskin was sin and schilim, or sin and schilim. And he talks about shayu oiskin b'tayyeh b'mitzvahs u'minas chasadim. Nobody denies it. It's very hard here. Gemilas Chasodim, but I've always said I learned that lesson once when I was driving on a very thin road. I was driving down a tiny road, and the road that I was driving down, there was, I never understood the pshat. The Amishul Abishonim, Gemilas Chasodim, Rachmanim. If you have Rachmanim, surely you're doing Gemilas Chasodim. And I noticed that if I stopped my car to let the double decker bus, so if it was a dustbin lorry, whatever it was, to pass, all the cars behind me would have to wait because of my Gemilas Chasodim. But my chesed would have had no rachmanis. Because I had no rachmanis on the people waiting behind me. It's very easy to do gemilas chasodim without any rachmanis. We need to just act out without thinking things through. It is a balancing act in how we act. We learn Torah, we perform mitzvahs, they practice gemilas chasodim. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, "Mipnei she'oyis avoyis v'nas gadam." And the Gemara reaches an astonishing conclusion. It says, the Amalek comes to tell you that it was equal since Chinam connected all the three Averis. Shalosh Averis, Avid Azor, Gilei Arois, Shvich Estomim. What exactly does Sinas Chinam mean? That's again a different question. What does it mean? I once had a beautiful, beautiful answer that we live in a world where people can do you harm. No, normal people don't get up and start hating somebody. It's possibly a person who's forgot your cover, he hurt you, upset you, and now you feel a tremendous Sinas Chinam towards him. Sinas chinam is because in my say it's a sentence. A chinam would mean free. It's not this hatred of a hate towards the other person. You're denying that Kadosh Baruch Hu has worked it all out. And if you ever need the greatest proof, I'm still accepting the Torah B'Ahava. I'm going to give it to Purim, because we can see everything Hashem in nature itself is running all for you. It's all for you. But you're denying Kodesh Baruch Hu within the nature and the fabric of everything. You believe, he has no right to offend me. There's a sin of skinim element there. You have to learn to let it go. So surely it can't mean that every person who shined hated each other, they were learning Torah. Perhaps in skinim describes something more complicated and more frightening. It describes a society in which people would still perform individual acts of righteousness, but the nation lost the ability to function together, Chazal teach, without it being separated. So there could be Torah without listening. We find that right through, forget here, we find it by Megillah Surah. It says, Shafoit HaShoftim. So there's one thing, judges were judging, and the other pshat we learn is that the judges were being judged. Nobody was listening to the judges. There could be Rabbanim without authority, Kohuna without integrity, we'll cover the Marsha. Or Zio Ishtaim, no responsibility. There could even be Gminas Chasodim, but for the people who we considered part of our group are involved in Gminas Chasodim. You're not part of my Hevra, you don't get the help. You're not Mishtatif. You don't get the same Gminas Chasodim to you. There are many causes for the Chorban, the Shabbos, the Afakuf, your Testament base, and I'm going to go through each one of these. It's remarkable. The Gemara says, Lechov Ishtaim Elo Bishvil. And it starts listing all the reasons. And we know we've covered that Shabbos wasn't kept, Kriya Shema wasn't done, not learning Torah, people lacked shame. We'll go into those reasons as well. So the first stage is Shabbos. The Gemara is not merely giving us a list, it's showing us how Torah society can slowly fall apart. And I said at the beginning of the shiur, realize how it all collapses within to itself. It's a very tricky thing to do, because we go from year to a year, we know we need to work on our Ahavas Yisrael, Nafs and Schinam. But the sad thing is, when it comes to the way we treat each other, we continue the cycle. And how we continue the cycle? Never Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I'm back here again. What could I do to improve? What have I missed? I'm coming up to of where did I go wrong? And that's really the question we have to do when it comes to introspection. Where am I going wrong? So the Gemara says, the Chov Yishlaim Ela B'Shul Shecholu Bo Es HaShabbos. The Gemara Yishlaim was destroyed because Shabbos was not kept, it was desecrated. The Gemara learns this out from Yecheskel. Mishabseisa Yalimi Einayim Ve'eichel B'Seichem. Again from Yecheskel. They closed their eyes to Shabbos and Hashem's name was profaned among them. The language is striking. Elimu Einayim, they closed their eyes. Earlier the Gemara says, Hina Leikim Tziyu Ela Mokim Shish Chil Shabbos. The fire that eventually burned Yerushalayim was not viewed by Chazal as only a Roman military act. The physical fire reflected a spiritual fire that had already been laid out, and nobody had gotten up to defend what was going on. Shabbos declares the world as a creator, places limits upon human power. There's a Ribon Shem. Believe he runs everything. There's the idea that there's like six apples and there's six cookies, and mommy leaves a note, and the note says, take one apple, Hashem is watching. Okay, so the boy writes a letter and says, okay, take all the cookies, Hashem's still watching the apples. You know, the idea that I can, you know, kid myself and it's all okay. It's not the case. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you standing up defending Shabbos? Shabbos is your emunah b'tochu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you take a day of rest. I had this now with a child I'm working with. His father and mother, I've asked them permission to discuss it. They're not from, it's fine, we deal with all kinds of kids. And they came to this country and the father works on Shabbos. And the problem was, the kids start working with us, and he started keeping Shabbos. You know these stories. So the kid comes home, I'm not eating from your kitchen. And the trick was, you know, do me a favor, don't start doing these stories to me. I don't have koyach for this. This isn't a kid. Just go home, eat what your parents make you. The child refuses. So the father calls me up. He says, "What do you have against me? My kid was in a dark place. Thank you for your help. Why did you have to make him from?" I said, "I didn't want to make him from." I said, "So what happened?" I said, "We began to talk about what he says every morning, Moidani Lefanecho, and he said it was amazing that you were in the army and you nearly got shot pretty badly in the head, and it was a miracle, that story, that you didn't die, and then how you got to England." And he goes to me, I didn't think about these things. It's these moments where he's, and it left quite an effect on him. He's doing the Friday night something, but the reaction, I don't think about these things. The Shabbos is a time when you stop. Hashem runs the world. I'm not going to stop and actually consider it. This is sort of the first. The second stage is Malchus Shemayim. Bravo says, L'chob Yishlaim Ela B'Shvil Shabit Lukriya Shema Shachas Vavs. Again, and we're quoting the Pesukim. Again, Yishayo, it says of it, Hoy Mashkimi Vaboyk Yashaycha Yodayfim Ma'achri Vanishav Yayin Yadlikim. People were rising early, but they did not say Shema. It wasn't the fact that Mepharshim, they say they Melava Malka late and they partied, but that wasn't the point. They remained awake into the evening, but not to accept the Imrach Shemai the next day of saying Shema. The problem was not simply poor timekeeping. Kriyat Shema means that Egid begins and ends his state consciously. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. They were consciously denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So before I express my opinion, there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Before I go after my knees, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they didn't want any of that. They didn't want to consciously have to consider HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It affected them. I don't want to know. When people no longer bend their own will, then the novel concludes, the chain is, Gol Ami Miblitas. The people went into exile through a lack of understanding. The Chumah was therefore not only the destruction of the building, it was the whole inside that was lacking. They had the beautiful Beis HaMikdash, but nobody at this point was valuing. I say nobody. We'll see as we go on. There were obviously people. But what trickles to the bottom reaches the top and vice versa. The third stage, the future, is no longer being educated. Rav Amnuna says, the Chavishlam Elabashu Shabitu Bot Yinoikish Shabisrabu. And how important is it that children get an education? The Gemara later says, Eimavathin Yinoikish Shabisrabu Nafilu Abinyan Beis HaMikdash. That's important, the education of our children. How many times do we have that when a father will say to me, I get too much homework, I'm too tired, sit down, go over, do Chazor with my child. This is the next generation. You were given this matana. Use it. How many homes are there where there's nothing there, no child there, there's nothing there. That child is the next generation. Use it. Many times it comes to the way to shul. When I was a child, I remember very, very, very on point how the study area was at the cell. He would turn around from his place as a rov for many years. And when he came to Omin Yeshmirab, he would look at the children and encourage them to say it with kavana. Forget the fact that Gemara on Shabbos Kifu Tesla Mavis at the top says Omin Yeshmirab can get rid of 70 years of bad gezeiros. So it's nice I'm bringing it in. But the fact was, we as children were being educated by a rov what it meant to say Omin Yeshmirab. The fact was, he would focus on each of us. What did you learn this week? What happened? The fact was, that was an ashpa that stayed with us. The fact that there are many people who went out on to open the yeshiva one went into chinuch, one. How? I even met a guy who was a kid, said to me, didn't think I was anything. He went, he sat, he learned. He valued every child, the children given that chashivas. You're building that next generation. Our children, all of them also. Oh, but then nobody cared. And even again, the Gemara says, we don't stop teaching our kids Torah to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's the level we're dealing with. It sounds astonishing. Surely building the Beis HaMikdash is one of the greatest possible achievements. But Chazal say, teaching our children, forget the building, has no secure future if there's no generation capable of understanding and filling it up with. One makes a structure, walls of beautiful stone, you have beautiful institutions. That's all, it's a building. There's nothing else in it. If the children are not being taught, the entire structure has no continuity. The deeper question is, what do the children see? Do they see adults who respect the Torah? No. Chazal say, they stopped going, they weren't interested. Mommy and daddy are not doing it. Why would I be interested? You know, there's a story, I don't know if it's true, but I've been told the story where a kid's in nursery, he's been made Shabbos daddy. You know, they make you Shabbos daddy. And then the auntie says, I want you not to go and be Shabbos daddy. What do I do? He says, you just go and do what your daddy does. Okay. Goes, takes a chair, takes out a newspaper and sits down. You know, the idea is what you see at home is what you think. I think there was once a certain Rav said to me that he was amazed by a little kid he met. He said, this kid, obviously the father never went to shul. So he asked him, why? So he said, what's the most important thing you see your daddy doing at home? Filling. He doubled at home the whole time. Yeah, you could see it. The child is picking up everything you're doing. Every act, everything you say. The child is copying, the learner is a sponge. Children got fed up, they're not going to go. And the adults didn't force them. Didn't force them to get an education. The fourth stage, people lose their sense of shame. And the Gemara does this in stages. Ulla says, nobody had any busha. I'm not ashamed, I'm not ashamed. No one asked you not to be ashamed. That is not to be afraid. The Gemara is not talking about people weren't afraid of one another. People didn't have busha. There was no bisha. There was no menshechai when it came to taking care. There's an important difference between the person who does something wrong and feels embarrassed. There was a yid who was caught stealing apples from a tree. And the local bar mitzvah comes over. What are you doing? You're eating apples. They're not your apples. Aren't you ashamed? He takes another apple. You're not listening to me. It's so nice to get a share and eat at the same time. That's, you know, the approach and the attitude. There's a busher. There's a busher. It's the same way you get caught stealing antiques in the local museum. The owners, I'm going to chuck you in jail. Tell the police. Oh, please, please, my kids, my family. You know what? You know what? I feel mercy. Never. You have like, what, 20 kids? Take something. He sees the Mona Lisa.
He takes it.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know how antique that is? Are you crazy? I don't need anything new. It's great. Okay. You know, so the idea of ich bin chitzpah, ich bin chitzpah. Chitzpah, as we know very well, is a well done thing. As I've said before, if it's guided in the right direction, that's a difference. But the idea of I'll do what I want with Asa's partner, and if I have no such sense of shame, it destroys your fabric, you have nothing. And this we know famously, we've discussed before with Kamsa Bar Kamsa. There was no shame. The attitude, the approach. The fifth stage, Gobel and cotton became equal. And it says, cotton and again, the Gemara quotes the Shiyahu. Every Yid is great to be telling any kin, but that doesn't mean that you're naturally the other person, you're the Rav. That person is working, connecting for Yiddishkeit to everything, and there's a whole different level. Everyone is equal. Everyone is chashuv. This is the famous Korach versus Moshe Rabbeinu argument. Korach says to Moshe Rabbeinu, what makes you think you're such a big knocker? We all stood by Sinai, Rashi says. Everyone stood by Sinai. You are so holy. But the difference is, nobody thinks about Korach's argument. Moshe Rabbeinu went up and he didn't die when he stood on the mountain. You all died when you heard the voice of Hashem. What's Korach's answer? And you look at Chazal, it's very powerful. Korach's argument is, we all stood by our Sinai giving you koyach, you represent us. I receive. Bilam had the lama koyach in the war, you presented all the goyim. But we come to Moshe Rabbeinu is representing Amisol, gives him a big. But yeah, the Gemara says, Anov mi kol adam. Anivus is what he had. His Anivus is what made him unique. It wasn't a pshat because of you, that's one element. I mean, the fact that he could bring himself down and still approach you and still come to you, things you could never do. That Anivus is what gave him the godless. But again, everyone's great. Comes to Marshal, and Marshal family says on this Gemara that they were selling, I advise you, if you ever go to Eretz Yisrael, take that tour by the tunnels and look where the Kohanim would pay money, where people were Kohanim, would pay money to become a Kohen for a year, for a lifetime. It was all corrupt. It was corrupt. It got even worse. The zealots were even worse. We found Rechem and Zaki understood military confrontation with Rome wasn't the right thing to do. He said, don't. He came from a tzad of Torah, and the zealots wouldn't listen to him. Instead of recognizing the Chum possessed a wider responsibility, a great judgment, they didn't. Who's the Kotzim of Gadol? Who are you, Gadolim? We're the zealots. We're the ones with weapons. We're going out there to defend them. You don't get a chance to talk to us. And the sixth one, nobody protests. The Gemara illustrates an extraordinary image. It says, miles, like animals walking in line with the head of one besides the tail of another. The Jewish people lowered their faces to the ground. They didn't look up. The way an animal would put your head down. Why are you putting your head down now? We don't ask you now to have a bisha. Now you pick your head up. The balance didn't know what to do. They didn't want to look. They didn't want to get involved. I don't become involved. The host is an important man. The Meraglim we had again not that long ago. We're like locusts, little tiny grasshoppers. We're nothing in the eyes of these giants. The pshadz were taught beautifully. They didn't think highly enough of themselves, a healthy way of themselves. They felt they had to stay in the middle. The guy down below, they didn't see it that way. What did it lead to? In the seventh stage, Tamir Chomma no longer respect. Rabbi Yudah says, the Chomish Lemon of Shvil Shev Bizubo Tamir Chachomim. We must have you, even Malachi Alekim, who voice him to Vav, Ma'atim bin Viov, at Alois Chamas Hashem Ba'amoy. Of the Ein Marpe. Now you might think this is all very nice. First piece of Mikdash. No. The Gemara says, and second. And the phrase, Ein Loi Refuah. The nation can survive many of various as long as it still respects the voice capable of quoting it back, the Gemara is saying. They didn't want to respect it. They didn't see it necessary to call back anything. If the killer makes mistakes, still listening to Chacham, there's a ticking, there's a way out. No. In the eighth stage, Robert says, the Chavu Yushlaim Adab Shvil, Shaposku Mimeno Anshe Emun. So people who are trustworthy disappeared. Leaders must trust that people will accept difficult guidance. Different groups must be able to disagree without suspecting that the other side wishes to destroy them. Once trust disappears, you've got nothing. There was no trust. And you can see all these reasons build it up to this point. And then a kamsa comes to Chavir Shlaim, you're going to get them. And the Mishnah says, Ashri Adam Mithachi Tomi Du Machin La Yipa Baro. Rabbi Yehoshua says, My Desiv Ashri Adam Pachin Tomi. Foolish person is always afraid, not paralyzed by fear, but sensitive to consequences. He does not say, it's only one argument, it's only one insult, it's only one person. It will blow over. He asks, where might this lead? Where am I heading in life? Yishlayim was destroyed, the Gemara says, again, because of them. But the Mashor argues famously that they were father and son, Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Rashi, to be fair, Rashi doesn't say dafka no, but he doesn't say at all yes. He makes it very clear to different people. Mashal says, no, had Rashi not said, I would say father and son. This is something I have to highlight so much. We see this, unfortunately, in my line of work, where kids don't see the fathers, don't want to know the fathers, don't want anything of the fathers. The whole family life falls apart. From what the Mashal is telling us, it's understandable why he would have thought that he would be invited. We know the whole dialogue, he was offering to pay for the whole meal for a bit. You think nobody heard, nobody did anything. The problem is, and then you consider comes the father and son. Where's the father? Where's the daddy? Where is he? The son thought, maybe my father gets along with this guy, going to Marshall. I might have a chance of peace here. Maybe because he gets along. There's nothing. There's a family, there's nothing, a connection. You're dead. And this shows you why we have to illustrate the reasons from Shabbos till this point. Why is Kamsa blamed? Because the Kamsa by Kamsa, Chav Yerushalayim, Kamsa by Kamsa, the two names are, it says, by Kamsa might have believed the invitation. He saw it as a possibility, as a start. By Kamsa is in this because you should have looked through, you should have still approached the Kamsa, you should have looked at, I'm friends, but the father, oh, he evade the father, that he didn't do anything over here. The Bar Kamsa couldn't stand up and do anything. The Ploini invited him, and Mela had the issue of the Kamsa. He has a son, Bar Kamsa, he's not thinking of coming and doing. Yeah, I asked once a kid, who destroyed the mission? Kamsa invited Bar Kamsa. The little kids said, no, there was a mix-up invitation. Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Bar Kamsa, the son of Kamsa. Understanding Masha, yeah, where was the father in all this? He knew his son was suffering. The Rabbonim were there, and this is quite something that shocked me when I looked into it. It's Eicha Rabba, okay? Parshat Sim Gimel says, Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkulus, he was at the Seder. Yeah, you heard that right. The Medrash creates a direct line between him and the fact that he was there at the Suda, and he didn't do anything. He sat there quietly. He didn't get up and protest. So again, we have him here, a great tzaddik, a god of at the Suda. No one's doing anything. And if you look at all the reasons, because no one gave him any power. He was weak. He was shot in the leg. There was nothing he could do to stand up and say anything. Society's points were like dominoes, till they completely destroyed each other and there was nothing else left, it all collapsed. There's no Kohenot Gemara, there's no Chazal Rabbanan. Society had collapsed long before. This is why we came to Rehum and Zakkai. I'm so aware of the time that we're at, so I'm trying to really get going over here. He understood where Torah would have to play its part. The whole thing that he went and he had to go along and he had to beg, don't destroy the base, don't destroy Torah. Keep them going. Why? There was no kohuna. So if no kohuna is corruption, forget your Beis HaMikdash. Your Beis HaMikdash is done. Why didn't he request more? Famous question. He felt it was too much. It was too much. Again, look at Abba Sikra. Abba Sikra approaches Yechon Zaki, the leader of the Brionim, the Zealots, and he says to him, can't you do anything? He says, Rabbi, I can't do anything, because if I do anything, they will kill me. I am limited in what I can do. I am done. I have nothing left. I can't do. That's the leader of the opposing side that you're trying to stop. Who's got no control of their own people? It's gone. And the Beis HaMikdash Kuna is gone. It is all done. Doesn't mean they weren't tzaddikim. Doesn't mean they weren't great people. But it's done. Your society is finished. The Yerushalmi has to leave in a coffin and play a game just because of this. When he meets Vespian, he says to them straight out, please, do me a favor, the Brionim do not let me leave till now. He's saying things, we are done as society, we're in big trouble. So why didn't he go and say, give me more? He said, I need the sages to live, I need Chachamim to live, I have to rebuild Am Yisrael from the inside out. I have to allow them to survive and thrive and rekindle the fire. He taught without Kobonis, without physical, totally replaced it. He taught the way one has to, but the way he did, if we look at the way he constructed, I have to cut off early and I'll finish next week, along with the Mashiach shit, because I'm aware of the time and I've passed and I appreciate that. But he understood that we have reached the breaking point, that to order to rebuild, I can't ask to save Yerushalayim. I need to start by rebuilding what makes an Am. So I'm going to take out all the layers which have become corrupted, and I'll keep the core. And from the core, we can start rebuilding. This is why, based on everything you see, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made his judgment. There's just too much. Everything's burnt already before the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. So let's save the core. Continue next week, part two.
Thank you.